Attention listeners, mark your calendars for Colorado Gives Day on December 10th. Support AfterSight and give to the causes you care about. Go to coloradogivesday.org/organizations/AfterSight between now and December 10th to make your donation.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. This isn't just accessible tech talk. This is technology on a whole new level. We're showing you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
Indeed. Well, welcome back to another episode of Blind Level Tech. I am your host, Devin Starnes, and I am totally joined by my very mobile co-host, Kelvin Crosby. How are you doing today, Kelvin?
It's so good to see you, even though I can't see you, man. I'm doing great. How about you, man?
Honestly, I'm good. It's good to be alive. I'm glad to be here in front of this microphone. It's been an interesting past couple of weeks for me. I have been trying to honestly kind of establish a better just daily habit slash routine kind of deal. I had a friend over the weekend, and I was trying to upgrade the RAM in her laptop, and there's a whole story, but I ended up like shorting it out. But that's actually going to be a good topic for a future episode. But it's been an interesting couple weeks. Feels like it's been a minute since I recorded, but yeah, how have you been holding up? You're mobile.
No, I've been around the world. It seems like I've been to the East Coast, the West Coast, the Central, the North,
back to Colorado California. Three times.
Yeah, and been to a Rocky game. Went to we've established a new version of the Seaming Cane handled this last week. We're getting things ready to go with Louisiana Association for the Blind to start manufacturing things.
Getting
film our firmware established and the chip for the Seaming Cane. So things are moving along, and Deathline Potter is starting to get a new look. And so I'm excited to go down that path. And so things are growing, but it's taking a lot of work, and I just living out of a backpack. And that is just, I never knew how refreshing it would be just to travel only with a backpack, you know,
just one That's backpack. It's so much more simple, right?
Just one backpack. And it's small, and I got 7 days of clothes. I got my podcast system. I got everything else I need, and I don't stink. So as long as I don't stink, we're good, right?
Totally. Actually, that's like one of my odd priorities. But man, dude, that's impressive.
So yeah, so that's that. So yeah, so why don't we dive into our tech piece of the week? What's your tech piece of the week, man?
Well, my tech piece of the week is actually not really, it's not an electronic, but it's a thing that's meant for taking apart electronics. I'm borrowing my friend's iFixit kit, and those things are oh my gosh, the amount of stuff that comes in those kits. So like, you've got a little magnetic, it basically folds up like into a whole little like canvas kind of, it looks like a little tool case, like kind of thing. And then it's got a magnetic tray for holding screws, a whole screwdriver set with like over 70 different bits. And so, you know, if I wanted to, I could finally take apart my old MacBook Pro or something like that. So that is 100% my tech piece of the week. But yeah, what's yours?
Well, mine is the Zoom P4 podcast mixer.
That's what you got. That's
truly how I'm doing right now. I'm Bluetooth into my phone, talking to the window with my mic, my SM58, and we're dialing in. Hopefully this is fairly decent for not having a computer. So I think I think I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds surprisingly decent. You can hear the Bluetooth, like the Bluetooth compression, but for Bluetooth, wireless, I'm impressed, honestly.
Yeah. So, well, why don't we learn about who our guest is and figure out who his tech piece of the week?
Yeah, because one thing that I was really impressed with, so our guest today is Martin, correct me if I'm wrong, Martin, but Martin van der Spek. He reached out to us a few weeks ago about an app that he's been developing called PickyBot. And this app is a really cool app. It's an AI-based image description app, but it's got a lot of things that really set it apart from other image description apps. But yeah, Martin, welcome to BLT. It's good to have you.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Kevin.
So we got to know, though, before we move forward, what is your tech piece that you want to give us?
I love these Meta Ray-Ban glasses. And I'm really trying to get my app to work better with them. But I know there were some tricks about that, but I haven't figured it out yet. But I'm going to go at it again next
week. Hack the glasses.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah, that's awesome. I really think it'd be cool to see those, the point where you can just take a video and it's like just whatever you're looking at and it'll just have it described to you.
That's the end game.
Honestly.
Yeah. Right. And then ask questions about it.
For
and
sure.
Constantly get feedback about it.
And the answer is once we can figure it out or once you can get it figured out. But you've been developing apps for about like a little over 14 years now. And you've always kind of specialized really in recognition and AI-based apps. One app I really do remember because I used it in particular was an app called Talking Goggles. But now you're making this app called PickyBot. So, yeah, can you describe to our listeners really what PickyBot is and kind of what sets it apart from other image recognition apps?
Well, my idea about PickyBot was, first of all, I loved making talking goggles and similar recognition apps for the blind and low vision community. And it has always been very rewarding to do that work. And now, with the... Well, you could say the AI revolution happening with all these models being released over the last year or two. So many options became available. I thought, let's enhance the idea behind talking goggles and make an app that doesn't use one model but uses multiple models. Gives the user more flexibility and then also start recognizing video in addition to images only. That's how it started, and I got a lot of feedback, especially from the AppleVis forum was very helpful. A lot of comments about early versions were sent back to me, and then I think it's gotten to a version which is quite well received. I get a lot of positive remarks about it every week, and almost daily actually. And now I've been a bit distracted over the last few weeks, but I'm back into. To taking it further. It's a great app to work on.
So I'm just curious. So from the way your brain works, because obviously it doesn't work the same as everybody else's. If you do software development, your brain computes differently. So my question is, are you writing the code yourself? Or are you using some of the kits and so forth? Like, how are you getting this stuff to build these apps?
I used to do almost all of it myself, but right now I have a small team, and including people like my daughter who is actually quite good at it, and then I do design the app and make especially on the back end important elements there, but it's always a team effort. I'm not using much of AI coding yet, although it is always another tool to have next to you. But uh, that uh, that will be the next step that uses so, them more.
Well, I'm curious about that. So have you done much with AI coding? Like, what do you think? And I did a little bit of it myself, trying to build a website the other day. It sucked. But I'm just curious. Like, what do you think about AI coding?
Honestly, which is a bit surprising, maybe because of my always my involvement in AI. The people I work with, they all have a co-pilot or something next to it to ask questions. But I am not really using it much. It is more for designs. What I do like is. Mm-hmm. For purely graphically, I'm lousy, and so actually the elements, I mean the things like the icon for PickyBot was all generated, and in this sense, the AI is helping to push it along, and just design elements.
That's awesome.
But the actual coding, not so much for me yet. But I want to look into it, and it is getting better. Yeah. So I think jumping into it later will benefit me because what I understand is that mm-hmm. Claude 3.5 is quite good in there in its coding. And so I'm going to have a look at that more.
Yeah, for sure. And you gave us. Well, okay, you gave us an interesting perspective really on AI and what it can be used for when it comes to software developing. Mm-hmm. Definitely think it can help make somebody, more efficient at coding. You know, if you're having to do a tedious task and you just want to bang this, this 10 lines of code out and you know what you want and you know how to get that result, just have it done through AI. And another thing that I didn't even consider is the graphical aspect of it. Because, like, mm-hmm. from a blind person's perspective, developing an app, I don't know what I'd do for icons. Honestly, I'd have to have some sightling, like, come and, help me design them.
You're going to make a horse.
Yeah, I'll make a horse icon for my app. All of my logo will be a horse, and your logo is going to be a hippo. But anyway, so back to the whole subject of PickyBot. So the things that really differentiate PickyBot, though, from other apps, like we discussed, is – and I think one of the biggest things is that you can actually select your AI model. You can pick Gemini. You can pick ChatGPT 3.5, 4, 4.0, and I think there's a couple others. But Martin, what was like – I'm sure – when you were like testing these AI models with different images and videos, which one honestly handled the best? Like, which one gave you the best results as far as a quality image description?
It really depends on what you are looking for. If you want to look, Gemini is generally not as good as GPT-4o, but it is. Far better in recognizing places and people and where GPT-4o will say no, I don't know that, I can't give input about that person, and Gemini will just describe who it is or what the place is and another model Rekha is very good in more technical descriptions. GPT-4o is the good. Well, generic one, and it will generally win, and it's the standard for all the others. But the different models have their own advantages and disadvantages, and some models like Gemini is good at recognizing people and places, and Rekha is good in technical descriptions. Llama is it's open source and has the advantage that you can run it yourself. Like, I've got a few machines here that can actually run it. So that means that I can guarantee the privacy of it. Because otherwise, whatever you do send it into the cloud to Google or OpenAI or Anthropic. And in general, they say, well, okay, if you use our API, we will not use your data to train, and we will not use your data for this. And but still, whatever it is, it goes. Yeah, well, it goes over the internet, and you never know where it ends up. It's, so, in that sense, Llama is good, and I have to commend Meta for making it available open source. So I wish they would do the same with their glasses, but that's another thing. That is, and
maybe one day.
Yeah. So yeah, the variety of models is fascinating, and that's also why I feel if you are one of the big guys, if you have an app by Google, or you have an app by Meta or by OpenAI, then you are by default limiting yourself because it will use only its own model. That's so now with PikiBot, you can just pick and choose and say, well, I need something for this this particular topic, so I'll use this model. This and it's good for also for if you're interested in technology, just trying it out, playing with it, see the same description or see the same image and have it described by different models and see what how that works out. So feel free to do that, and it is
So I got a really interesting question, because I worked on AI stuff 2017, kind of when I did my whole AI run on things, and we were using it to read your brain waves to be able to talk to your blind canes.
Not true.
And what's interesting is you talk about all these different models, and what was interesting is that my question is, do you see a way to be able to merge all three of those models to create a well-defined model with all three, like those different models together, without having to pick one
that gives you the best
result? Well, yeah, kind of like a supermodel.
What you're seeing is like something like a tool like Perplexity is doing exactly that. It is you have a search, and it is using different models at that moment to produce the search results. It's a logical logical way forward. Actually, it is. Another one is actually even last week we have Grok 2 released, and now.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to check that out.
I really want to add that to PikiBot as well, because it's. It's maybe, well, they say it looks to be similar to GPT-4o in performance, but it is it's less censored, and it's a bit typical, but there are some people who want to say, okay, oh, I have all these art figurines and this, and I want to have them described, and then GPT-4o will say, no, I can't describe this. This is And Grok 2 will do
derogatory
that.
Derogatory or inappropriate or whatever.
Right.
Oh, that's cool.
That could get dangerous.
It could, though.
That could get a little dangerous. Yeah.
you have to physically select the model, and if you want to do that, then I can give warning alerts like, okay, this
do
is
it at your own risk.
Anyway, the app is
18
plus in the app.
Oh, good to know.
I won't describe what my thoughts were just a moment ago.
Me neither.
It's not appropriate for the podcast.
But one thing that you did add that was really that's also kind of unique about PikiBot is actually a really cool little I call it the personality switch. But when you take a picture, with a recognition app, you kind of get your basic average description, and it definitely does feel like it's being described to you kind of by a computer. But then this mode is, it's kind of interesting, because I've played with it And the things I found interesting, for whatever reason, mine likes to say a lot. I don't know why it says that. I don't know if it's trying to clear its throat, but you can kind of have it describe, you know, like the photo to you. So like if I took a picture of this desk, you know, it'd be like, all right, you're totally looking at this totally beautiful desk setup. And on the left, you've got a coffee cup. And then in the middle, you've got a microphone and it looks very professional. And that's kind of a thing that sets the app apart for sure.
Yeah, it's over the top.
I love your British accent.
Thank you.
It is done on purpose, of course. It is it gets the attention, and at the same time, yeah, some people get very annoyed by it, and then okay, you put the whole sound off, or you use only voiceover and. Or you upgrade, and then you can select any type of personality or multiple personalities, or you can put it off. And yeah, of course, I would like people to upgrade, so that's all good then. I could make it start in let's say boring mode like all the others, but well.
Why not? Yeah, why would you do that though? It's got to be fun,
right? Yeah, I'll keep it like this.
Fun, right?
Exactly. So, I guess my question for you: so, do you see that video interpreting would be coming soon, or do you think we're still going to have to take pictures and then describe?
No, PickyBot can describe videos. It's up to 1 minute at least. It's doing a fine job with that. Of course, we want to improve it, and it will improve as the models improve. The main challenge is right now to integrate it nicely, because that the feedback has been from people like, oh yeah, it's everything is so video driven. Like if I get a TikTok video, I can't do anything with it. If I get a video on
Instagram, Instagram,
I couldn't. But Instagram, I've got the sharing worked out, so you can share from Instagram videos to PickyBot, and it will describe that. TikTok still has to be done. Facebook is also hard, actually. It is but anything that you can save from your tool to or from your app to your phone, you can then upload to PickyBot, so that and then get it described. There's a lot of sorry Gavin.
No.
You keep going. You're on a roll. We're gonna let you go.
I just want to say that it is. I think it's really like a platform. It's just a tool to use it in this form and that form. And I've seen it also being plugged into different purposes, like security footage cameras that have now called PickyBot integrated in them, and it's fine. It's nice. Whatever it can do to help out is.
It's really cool. Can we talk a little bit about the model you've implemented for upgrading the app? Because the app is free, but the upgrades do allow you to do things like change the personality. Or select your different models. So yeah, what's that model looking like?
The app is initially free. It does have it's unlimited use, but you have ads, and you have only one personality. You have just the GPT-4o model it's using, and also the video does work, but is limited to 30 seconds and has only low quality video. I compress the video a lot, and then you don't get the same type of results. So upgrading works in all kind of ways. It improves. And then you can either upgrade for for 3 months for $3 a month, or you can do a one-time payment of $20, and then it's a lifetime subscription. So I think it's all very reasonable, and I mean I've been told it's very reasonable, so it's good for me, and I keep hoping that it spreads more, because the popularity of the app, I mean, it is known, but it is not it's not super popular yet. I'm a bit in between.
Yeah,
It would be really interesting. Could we integrate this into the Simi cane?
Could you? You probably could, especially if it's got a camera. And then just have your cane describe stuff.
Put a lens on, and then now we got ourselves a camera.
Are you going to call it the Simi cane then, or are you going to start calling it the Omni cane? Because it sounds like a device that would do all. But love the subscription model though, because just personally, this is my personal opinion here. I'm sharing on the podcast, but you give people the option to do a monthly subscription to it's like $3 and it supports you and your development, or you can just buy it outright lifetime. Where is this app available? Because I've only tried it on iOS, but
it's an iOS and Android, and the functionality is kind of identical. The only one difference between the two is that on iOS you don't see what is hidden behind the settings screen, and on Android you get to see it, but it's as soon as you want to select it it's blocked. So that's a small difference, but as soon as you unlock it, it's really exactly the same as on iOS as on Android.
Oh, right on. But cross platform. Awesome.
Right. Yeah, so are you using a web based
both apps are native development.
That's awesome.
That's a lot of work. Okay. That's a lot of work.
That's impressive. Indeed.
Are you using the AI to do that and to keep you updated on both platforms, make sure it's staying current?
No. It's not that much work as soon as the base is there. The thing is that I've also, like I said, I worked from different apps on top of each other, and it is of course you never start completely from scratch. And right now it is the app is stable, and adding things to it is not that much work. It is my main fear is now that I want to. One of the requests is that to add the history of the chat to make that more clear. But when you are interrogating your video or your image to show what let's call it like that. To show what type of questions you've asked in the past I want to do that, but I'm not sure if I annoy current users who are used to say, hey, I want to take a picture and just get the description, and I want to take another picture, and I don't want to get lost in any chat mode or something. So I have to be a bit careful in not breaking the very easy ease of use, and instead of by adding more features. Yeah. That's always the risk.
Yep.
It always can be. It can make or break.
Build another app, you know.
100%.
So, help me understand it, because what you're doing isn't cheap. So obviously, you have people that had to do the subscription. Are you able to get grant funding to help you with some of this stuff, or
like what goes into the development of this app?
How is your business model besides the subscription service?
At the moment, it's purely the subscriptions, to be fair. Really run it on a shoestring budget, and I'm able to keep my head over above the water. But it is important that the app grows further to make it really. Yeah, to really be interesting, it is, that
And spread the word about
another
it.
Thing is, another thing is that I'm hoping for, like I have just submitted a spin-off of PikiBot in for the Google Gemini AI competition. This, and they were inviting people from around the world to to write something using their Gemini model. And I did that, basically presented a stripped down version of PikiBot. And that if I win that's a few hundred thousand dollars. So let's hope.
This, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're going to be rooting for you, man, for sure.
Yeah.
But, one thing is,
I got to ask the question.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, man.
Go ahead.
Fire away.
Bye. Now, from the in that line, from the 26th of the month, there will be an the public awards will be open, so people can start to vote for different apps for the Google Gemini competition. So at that time, I will share the link and any votes I can get from the community are of course helpful. It doesn't cost you guys anything, and it really would help me out.
Mm-hmm. And Kelvin, you had another question though,
So I think the one thing that we need to help everybody understand, because I think this is something that people are like, okay, what's the difference between
different recognition apps?
The different apps, because like you got InVision, you got Aira, you got all these other ones that are doing very similar things, but what really separates your product from everybody else's? And I think I know the answer, but I want to hear it from you, Martin.
No, it's basically two things, and what we've been saying from the past, from the start, the multiple models, the multiple personalities built in, and the fact that still, for whatever reason, PikiBot is the only app that does video descriptions so far. I don't know why the others are not doing it yet, but so it's, at the moment, I think the app really offers a lot, and I will continue to add features to it as these models get stronger. Because we are all waiting for the OpenAI updates, this better voices and fast interactive communication with really 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 good sounding voices. And that is coming. Google is again coming with their own interactive voices. I mean, every week there's something new, and it's a matter of keeping ahead in that. Fortunately, most of these things are you're able to do on the back end, so that the app itself doesn't really have to be changed too much. But I think it's. I believe it's one of the better solutions for image and video recognition at the moment.
I'm definitely I'm definitely with you as far as just kind of waiting to see what these new AI models are cranking out. But I'm sure one thing that our audience is actually waiting for and have been waiting for, actually, believe it or not, is
the sandwich of the week.
So I, as per the huge, because I suck at coming up with these, don't have a sandwich. So while I while I improvise the sandwich of the week, Kelvin, what is your sandwich of the week this week?
I call it the subby tuna, and this is, you go to Subway, you get yourself a foot long, you put tuna on it, jalapeno, chipotle mayo.
Oof.
And you put it in the oven, and bada bang, bada boom, there's your sub tuna.
We call that the subwoofer. That's what I'll call it. That's what it sounds like. Yeah. Well, Martin, do you have a sandwich of the week?
I like making a nice croissant with all boa, nice boa, mix of chicken and veggies in it, and this, I've got a nice new air frying oven, and if you put it in on there for 5 minutes, it really comes out really nice. It's, I don't have a fancy name for
that
it.
That sounds
sorry.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I'm sure, but air fryers are. Honestly, quite incredible devices. You could live out of them, but a croissant is, I haven't had a good croissant in a while. So my Sanders of the week this week is completely and totally random, and probably one I've done before, but I don't know what's, but I could go right now, honestly, for a little cutesy, juicy buffalo chicken slider. Like I love a good slider. The reason it's my Sanders of the week is because I'm actually actively craving it right now. Like if somebody offered me one, I'd yank it from them immediately. Well, Martin, thank you so much for your time and for being on BLT. And where can people find you and where can people find PickyBot?
Well, yeah, PickyBot, if you spell it right, that's because everybody's been calling it PixieBot for some reason, because the voiceover happened to call it like that. So, but if you spell PICCYBOT, and the search for that will turn up for both the Apple Apple Store and the Google Play Store. You can also go to website sparklingapps.com and then /PickyBot, and it will then either whether you if you load that from your iOS model, it will send you to the App Store, and if you do that from your Google device, or if your Android device, it will go to Google Play. You can look up my name up, Martijn van der Spek. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on. I've started a new group on Facebook, PickyBot. I think it has 2 members at the moment. I really have to grow that one because
I'm just gonna have 3 pretty soon here.
I'm a bit stuck with the Apple Viz. It's really a bummer that they. They're closing that down, so I'm hoping that some alternative options are becoming available where I can find some good support for the app.
Well, everybody, actually, before we wrap this episode up, Kelvin, is there anything you'd like to add?
I just say, if you're in a time of waiting, sometimes waiting is the best way to go, and then you don't know how much more fruit you're going to make on the other end. And you know,
that's
for me,
a good point.
I always tell you, you go live beyond your challenges.
Go check out PickyBot. It's on the, like Martin said, App Store and Play Store. And also, if you really want to hear a demo of it, check out the BLT Byte, where we actually do a full in-depth demo of it, including testing the video description part out. So go give that a listen. And go check out some of all of our other shows. We've got The Blind Chick, Blind Sight, Navigating Life with Vision Loss, and actually you can you're going to be able to come find us at the Shine Music Fest, which is at Real Works in Denver. You're going to be on August 24th. We're actually going to have I'm going to be hovering around doing Evan on the Go interviews, and we're going to be doing a live recording at 4:15 p.m. of the Blind Chick podcast. So if you want to come meet us, meet Penn, me, Jonathan, unfortunately, Kelvin won't be there, but that's, he'll be there in spirit, but definitely come join us. It'll be a great time. In any event, thank you all so much for joining us for another episode of Blind Level Tech. If you've got questions or feedback for our podcast hosts or for AfterSight in general, you know what to do. Email feedback@aftersight.org or 720-712-8856. In any event, my name is Evan Starnes. This is my mobile techie co-host, Kelvin Crosby.
Go live beyond your challenges and plug in your device.